Today is Sunday, November 24th, 2019, and this...
You know, we were really excited for a big wedding surrounded by family and friends that fell through. That was disappointing for me and Jay as well. But we kind of gathered our thoughts and we planned Vegas and now we're here and we're excited and we just want to do this.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 715.
Las Vegas, the honor!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. We get to talk about Vegas now.
Yay.
Let's do that. Shall we? Should
sure.
we do that? Should we do
sure.
the whole show talking like this?
No.
That would be weird and annoying for everybody, but it's fun to do, kind of.
Stop.
All right. I won't do that then. Let's mention something here before we jump into the usual stuff. In the spirit of commerce, it is the commerce time of year, you know.
It's the giving season.
Yes. We are having a sale on our 500 t-shirts. So if anybody has been holding off and thinking about buying one but has not done so yet, we have a limited time discount code. So there's a link on the Facebook, or not on the Facebook, well, there is on the Facebook group, but if you go to 500bymidnight.com, on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a picture of the t-shirts, and you can click on and get to the store, and at checkout, if you enter the code BONUSBONUS, you will receive 15% off through December 15th, so there you go. If you want to get a shirt, you can
Yay, shopping.
Yay, shopping indeed. I would recommend, if you were planning on buying this as a gift, not to wait until the last minute, because the way that the vendor that we use works, they print in batches. So it's not like you buy it and they ship it the next day. It usually takes like a week or so. So
they wait until they have enough orders.
They have a schedule, I think.
Oh,
so
okay.
Even if they have one order, it
Oh, okay. It still it'll has be to like, wait. Till
yeah, and it tells right. you when to check out what the estimate is, and they're usually within a couple days. So if you're thinking about doing it as a gift, do it soon.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Thank you very much to anyone who chooses to pimp out our show via t-shirt. All right. Our show is listener-supported by fine Patreon patrons. They include the following people. Sean Rubin, Kenneth Hinrichs, Vertigus, Adam, Scott Jarvis, Wade, and Vegas Tips and Tricks. Thank you to
Thank
these
you.
And all of our patrons. We do appreciate your support of the show. Visit patreon.com/500 for all the details if you want to support the show on a monthly basis. We throw some bonus content your way as our way of saying thank you. And that's how it works. Okay, we've got some news. Resorts World. It's been under construction since 1957, and there is an update on it. Unfortunately, it is yet another delay. They are not opening at the end of 2020 as previously planned, but rather summer of 2021. They need a little bit of extra time. You can't rush these things.
I guess.
Jeez. So yeah, Genting Gaming is the owner of that company, and they've put out some updates this week. They released some updates in addition to the delay. They've provided some additional information. Now, some of this stuff seems familiar. I looked back in notes from what they've announced before, and I think a lot of it is just refined versions of things they've announced before. So, for example, one of the items that they mentioned is a 5,000-seat theater for headliner shows. Previously, years ago, they said 4,000 seats.
Okay.
So
they're still having a theater. It's just...
Exactly. Yeah. But and some of these things, they hadn't announced specifics as far as sizes and things like
okay.
that. Anyway, so the one thing that's I don't find a big surprise is that the Asian theme is all but gone. As this project has developed, that whole concept has slowly eroded. Well, not even slowly. It's just progressively eroded as they've announced updates and as they put out new renderings of the property. You could tell originally it was like, we're going to have a panda display and we're going to have a fake wall, a fake Great Wall of China and an Asian shopping market and all this stuff. And little by little, those things have disappeared. The most recent renderings, you could see that there wasn't that much of the Asian style pagodas and things like that. That was all gone. So yes, indeed, they have confirmed it's no longer Asian themed, but rather a luxury property with Asian touches.
Excuse me?
Robert Kraft will love this place.
Oh.
Asian touches.
It's better than Steve Wynn touches.
It is better than Steve Wynn touches. Well, yeah, I would imagine it would be. He'd be a fan of Asian touches, I would imagine. All right, so what do we have on tap here at Resorts World? 3,500 rooms. The previously announced number was 3,873, so they've changed that a little bit. I don't know if that means more suites or just less rooms. I don't know. 110,000 square foot casino, 14,000 square foot entertainment zone, which includes the sports book and a live entertainment area. They're going to have a spa. They're going to have, now this is something that they've changed the way that they're framing it, at least.
Okay.
A 220,000 square foot pool complex with 7 pools. Now that was previously being promoted as a water park. So I think they're pulling back from the family aspect that they kind of started to focus on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going away along with the Asian theme. So luxury property doesn't necessarily probably jive. I mean, it was always going to be somewhat upscale, but I think they're going maybe a little bit more upscale than originally planned and scaling back on the, hey, bring the kids thing, which... that's fine. They're circus. Let them have that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put up some massive LED screens covering parts of the tower. Kind of like if you've been to Vegas recently, you've probably seen at Palms. One whole side of one of the towers is a giant LED screen. They put that in during part of the recent renovations. There are a couple different spots on the Resorts World renderings that show they're going to have similar LED signs. One on one of the smaller sides of the tower, and then one, it's... I'm curious how this will work because it looks like it would block room views for the majority of one side of one of the towers. So I don't know how that's going to work, but maybe it's like a wrap where the way that technology is, you can see through it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're going to have that. As I mentioned before, a theater for headliners, and then they're also planning on putting in a nightclub and day club, 75,000 square feet. It will either bomb horribly, like Palms, or it will put one of the other nightclubs out of business because we have reached saturation.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's Resorts World. Unfortunately, nobody likes a delay. I think there's still skepticism, even though this is they're making visible progress in the tower. I mean, have you seen pictures lately?
No.
Like, most of the glass is on it now.
Cool.
Yeah. And the whole thing about how it looked just like wind, like, now there's a lot more red on the tower.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
We knew that.
I know. That whole thing was kind of nonsense. Yes, they're using a similar color glass, but with the accents and stuff, it doesn't look like wind. Yeah. So there you go. The project is going to happen. It's not, at this point, I don't think
it's just a question of when.
Summer of 2021 until they announce the next delay. I can't imagine, like, Genting Gaming is a big company, and I can't understand. They've got to be losing a shit ton of money taking this long to open it. I mean, that land is not producing any revenue, obviously, until they open. So you would think it would be
and
in their best interest.
Construction is a cost.
Yeah. It would be in their best interest to get the thing up and open as quickly as possible to start recouping some of the $4.3 billion they're spending on it, which they never will. Any project we've seen that's that big, they always end up having to go through bankruptcy reorganization in order to wipe out debt and then eventually make money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what their plan is long term, but anyway, that's how it's going, and they're taking forever, and I don't know why. So we'll keep an eye on this project, and as additional details come out, obviously they will be announcing restaurants and things like that as we get closer to the opening, but it might be a while now since they've delayed it another 6 months or so. All right. Something else that is happening in Las Vegas is consolidation. It is not casino consolidation this time, but rather specific to the sports books. And we've discussed this a little bit in the past, but the latest news is that William Hill, which operates a metric buttload of sports books in Las Vegas.
That is the technical term.
That is the they are going to be operating even more soon. So there's another company that has had a handful of sports books that it has managed called CG Technology. It used to be called Cantor Gaming.
Yep.
CG has had some issues over the years, and I don't know what led to this eventual thing that they're doing, but they're selling off their assets and William Hill is buying them. What that means is that William Hill will be operating another handful of sports books in Las Vegas, including Cosmopolitan, Venetian, Palazzo, Tropicana, Palms, and Silverton. This is on top of the large collection of William Hill sports books, and I'm not going to name them all. A lot of downtown ones. They've got Casino Royale. But then the other thing that's happening is as a result of the Caesars Eldorado merger, before that happened, well, it's still in the process of happening, but before it was announced, William Hill had contracted with Eldorado to manage its sports books. And I think we discussed it when this was announced that, like, the moment within a day or two of the Eldorado takeover of Caesars being announced, William Hill put out this big announcement like, hey, we're going to be taking over the Caesars sports books. So I'm not certain that that's 100% done deal, but I think it pretty much is.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a whole nother batch of sports books William Hill will have. And this consolidation at that level is not good for the consumer, as we've discussed many times over the years. So just like anything else, there are sports gamblers who like to shop for the best gambling lines.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially if you're placing a substantial bet.
Yes. Well, and then there's the, you know, being able to place bets at different venues that, you know, you're playing the middle so that, are different things you can do, but you have to have different odds in order to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if William Hill is running the majority of sports books, it becomes more difficult. So not necessarily a fan of this news. At some point, like, how much more can they do? Hopefully none more. So there you go. That is happening. And
who does the sports book at the MGM properties?
They have their own.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, there are still a handful of companies, but...
Yeah.
All right. So that's what's happening in sports book land. We've got some show news. A new residency, which is a return. We're not doing music this time because it is a return of a previous resident performer, and that is CeeLo Green. This is a curious residency in my mind.
This surprises me.
So previously, CeeLo Green performed a bunch of shows at Planet Hollywood, and this was in, I think, 2013 or so. And around that time, his career was probably at its peak. Mm-hmm. He had the song Fuck You, which was a big hit.
Yep.
And
in various forms,
yes,
depending on where you heard it.
Yes. He was making hits at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
I think he may have put out one album since then, but he hasn't exactly been tearing up the charts or anything, which is fine. There are plenty of performers in Las Vegas that haven't necessarily been charting lately. Okay, but so I'll talk about details of what his residency is, and then we can talk about, like, why I think this is weird. So his new show will be at Flamingo. It's going to be called Man in the Mirror, and it will feature 16 shows in March, April, and August of next year. And the reason that I'm wondering about this, whether or not this is viable, is so he's not at that point where he's still in the public eye and making hits,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't
have a long career to fall back on.
There's that, and not even so much the length of the career, but just the
number of hits,
the amount of time that has passed. He's not at the nostalgia stage yet.
So
I mean, because you can have somebody who's had a handful, probably the same number of hits as CeeLo Green. He's had a handful of hits,
mm-hmm.
but if it was like 20 to 30 years ago, then he kind of starts to fall in that nostalgia range. But it seems like it's like recent enough where it's just like, oh, that guy. But I don't know if there's people who are pining for CeeLo Green shows. I mean,
maybe he has a hardcore fan base maybe? Or something. I don't know.
It isn't a smaller venue than Planet Hollywood, so that's probably a good thing, but I don't know. We'll see if it does well. I mean, obviously, if it does, they'll probably bring it back. And as it gets closer, maybe I'll take a look at the old seat map and see how tickets are selling. That's always an indicator. But this one kind of surprised me, came out of nowhere. They're obviously trying to fill that theater because now there are a lot of open dates because Donnie and Marie are gone. So I would imagine we will be having some more announcements from Flamingo in the near future. The ticket price for CeeLo, they run between $60 and $190 plus Ticketmaster fees and taxes. And they are available now. If anybody goes to the show, we'd love to hear it. I know that his previous show at Planet Hollywood was a big spectacle and it got pretty good reviews.
Didn't it have him like rotating?
Probably. It was, yeah, they did all kinds of shit. And it was, I think it was called Liberace. It was like it wasn't a tribute certainly to Liberace, but it was kind of the whole big showman idea. Mm-hmm. I think he came out in a fur coat and all that kind of thing. So inspired by, I guess would be the way to put it. All right, there's a new entertainment venue coming to Palazzo's Grand Canal Shops, and it is called Kemu. It is an ultra karaoke lounge. And so it's not like a karaoke bar like Ellis Island's karaoke bar where there's a stage in the corner and people get up and sing in public. Mm-hmm. This is different. This is private karaoke rooms, so VIP karaoke lounges. They're going to have 40 of them. It's a high-end karaoke lounge, so they're having bottle service. They're also going to have food available. I'm curious with the high-end thing. Well, there are a couple things I'm wondering about with the high-end thing as far as whether or not that's a viable business model. But on their website, which doesn't have a lot of information now, it has, like, up until 8 p.m., it's all ages. Mm-hmm. And then after 8 p.m., it's adults only.
Okay.
I'm wondering if during the day, obviously, they're not going to have a huge demand for bottle service
right
at 2 in the afternoon.
For most people.
For most. There will be some. But I'm wondering if during the day, the high-end concept will maybe be scaled back a little bit in order to keep business coming in. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first Las Vegas Strip karaoke lounge of this nature. I don't remember ever talking about one before in the time we've been doing this show. On the record, I know at Park MGM has a couple private karaoke rooms, but as far as a dedicated karaoke lounge of this nature, I don't think there have been any. They're huge in Japan.
I think they have some in New York City too.
Yeah, there's other cities that certainly have them and have for quite a while. So I'm kind of surprised it's taken this long for somebody to try this concept in Vegas.
Yeah,
because
hasn't this
of
been
that.
A thing since, was it Lost in Translation where they...
Well, yeah, I mean, that was, I think, where people realized, oh, this is a thing because it was featured in that movie. But it's opening in February. Whether or not it lasts a long time, I have no idea on this, if there's going to be a demand.
I think it sounds fun because if you get a group of people and then... rather than taking over the karaoke bar, you can have your own room.
And I feel like I'd be more inclined to do this with a group of friends than to get up in front of a bunch of strangers. And this is a different thing, and everybody's sitting around and having cocktails and laughing and singing for each other and together. And yes, I this would be more appealing to me. Now, like I said, I don't know if the high end. I'll be curious to see once pricing comes out and how high end it really is, how much it's really going to cost you to do this.
And are there various prices? Like, can you get the room without the bottle service?
I would imagine you probably can. So, we'll see. That is coming in February to Grand Canal Shops. If anybody does this once it opens, of course, we would love a report. Especially if you are a karaoke aficionado and have been to previous or additional karaoke lounges. How does the experience compare to things you've done in other cities, your hometown or elsewhere? Be good to hear what you think of it.
Obviously, we don't have that shit here.
There might be.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Well, we never leave the house, so how would we know?
I know. There might be something. I don't know.
I was just thinking that...
You know what? I think there are, but I think a lot of these are typically like nestled away in like Chinatown areas and stuff like that.
Okay.
I think there might even be some in Vegas, but they're not in the touristy areas. But I think...
By here, I mean the Twin Cities.
I think there are some here. They're just not It's like they're not, it's a similar thing. It's kind of a niche market mm-hmm. here. They're not like in the warehouse district of Minneapolis, for example.
Or they're Northeast. Or,
yeah. So there you go. Okay. So since we're on the bar and entertainment tip, some more information about a place we talked about a couple months back, the former Don't Tell Mama and Beauty Bar spaces on Fremont Street. When we discussed this previously, I had found some information that the people who run Park on Fremont would be taking it over, and that is the case. They're taking over both of these venues. And in addition to Cheap Shot, which we had announced as the tentative name of one of the venues, the other one is going to be called We All Scream, according to recent city filings. And I'll explain why in a second. Cheap Shot first. So the plans for Cheap Shot include an outdoor space in back of the main indoor bar space and a rooftop patio. So they're going to be doing some work on those buildings to make that all happen. The concept of it, or the look of it, will be a theater room and playhouse theme, a Parisian-style decor with live entertainment featuring two shows per week. So I don't know what to expect from the shows or the Parisian theme. I'm not sure. The one that sounds a little bit more interesting to me is We All Scream. It's going to be modeled after a 1950s classic drugstore ice cream parlor look. That could be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this interests me.
I was looking at the floor plans for this, and in the corner, in one of the corners, they will have an ice cream, a little ice cream stand. Mm-hmm. And according to the information filed to the city, they're going to feature nonsensical flavored ice cream, mm-hmm. which led me to wonder, what does nonsense taste like? And how do you infuse that into ice cream?
Well, we did eat at Guy Fieri's once. So.
Is that what nonsense tastes like?
So.
Just mix a bunch of shit that doesn't make any sense mm-hmm. together in one...
They'll probably have like savory flavored ice cream.
Yeah, they'll do things you're not expecting necessarily. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, what? Why would you do that in ice cream? And then you'll try and go, that's actually pretty good. Be one of those deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, a cocktail bar and beer garden. So this, I don't know what the opening plan for this is. Obviously, they're going to have to do, I think they have already gutted these rooms, but they're going to have to do some additional work in order to put in a rooftop patio and to get the patio space in back in good condition. They are putting an Airstream trailer in the patio, which will serve as a bar space. But it sounds like these will be worth checking out.
Yeah.
They're going to have a nice, Fremont East is ready for some
new bars,
new concepts,
yeah.
And I can see paired. I mean,
the current bars are just great, but
they're lovely. But especially paired with Corduroy,
also Red or 512 whatever
that fucking
called.
Place is called. Yeah, these are right next to Corduroy, which has sort of the '80s, '90s theme, mm-hmm. and
which is a very fun place.
Just these three, or even just going between this and the ice cream place seems like that would be a fun little bar
mm-hmm.
crawl.
Mm-hmm. And then anyway. The Griffin, and then Downtown Cocktail Room.
What the hell? Hit them all. Well, I'm looking forward to these opening and checking them out, and we will certainly report once there's an opening date for these establishments. Some additional Fremont Street news. There is, if you've been on Fremont Street, which I think you have, you probably know that there's some ugly stuff there. Mm-hmm. For example, the canopy above Fremont Street. It's hideous.
I thought you were going to start calling out specific performance circle.
No, I'm talking about the infrastructure on Fremont Street. Now, they have recently renovated the canopy, and that's pretty much done. Mm-hmm. And at least it's brighter now, and they'll have shit on it during the day as well as at night. It's still an ugly canopy regardless of, mm-hmm. It's brighter now. Yay. The second most ugliest part of Fremont Street, in my mind, are the Slotzilla zipline platforms. There's two. There's one by Four Queens. There's another one by Golden Gate, where the zipliners end their rides.
Mm-hmm. It's just like gray steel
structure.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they're going to do something to make one of them slightly more attractive. The one facing Main Street, the one that faces Plaza and is between Golden Gate and Future Circa, they're going to make that more appealing by adding a big sign, a big LED sign facing Fremont Street and Plaza. A while back, before Derek decided to put the renovated Vegas Vicky signed in Circa. Mm-hmm. I think there are plans to put that
there.
Yeah. So that would be up, but then that changed. Instead, there's going to be an LED sign that shows sort of a slideshow of classic downtown Vegas photos. It'll be a promotional thing, but they're not putting advertising on it, at least according to what they told the city and what was reported in the Review Journal.
For now.
Yeah, we'll see long term. You know, a couple years in, suddenly you start seeing ads for the Fremont Street casinos. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't surprise me. So there you go. I'm not sure what the politics are behind all this stuff. I think they purposely made that platform super ugly as a fuck you to Plaza. Plaza is a former Fremont Street Experience member and then got booted for not paying its bills, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. So I think at one point they're like,
stop paying dues. You have to look at this.
Yeah, fuck you. You have no view of Fremont Street anymore from Oscars. But I don't know that. I don't know. That's just speculation. This is going to be up by the end of the year. And it's always fun seeing classic Vegas images. And since mm-hmm. you've just got a fucking wall, cement wall there, might as well use it for something attractive.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I'm glad they're doing this. Finally, speaking of art, there's going to be a reason to go to Fashion Show Mall, at least temporarily. I'm somewhat interested in this. I'm not a big art guy. Like, I don't want to go to a lot of art museums or any of that. They're fine, mm-hmm. but I'm not an art aficionado.
Uh-huh.
But I like pop culture art, I guess. And Banksy, the graffiti artist.
Not the former hockey player.
No, different Banksy. Yes, known worldwide as a graffiti artist. There's going to be an exhibit. It's not an official exhibit. It's unofficial, but it has his works. So it's called Banksy, Genius, or Vandal, and it's going to be opening at a new venue at Fashion Show Mall called Immersion Vegas.
Oh, you love immersion.
I do love to be immersed. So they have this venue. It's a virtual reality venue, but they have additional space they can use for other things, including, for example, this exhibit. They'll have 70 works from Banksy on display, and I think they have a self-guided audio tour. It's supposed to take about an hour to see the whole thing. It's going to be opening November 28th, running through April 5th. Tickets are $29, and you can get more details or buy tickets at Banksy.Vegas. I'm interested in this.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I can see that.
I like the idea of this guy. There's mystery involving who he is. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty much been cracked who he is, but it's still kind of shrouded a little bit. The idea of him and the art that he does is kind of cool. So I would see this. Maybe I'll have to look at a map of the mall and see how far into the mall I have to venture and whether or not $30 and a trek through a mall is worth going to this. But mm-hmm. it's something I would consider at this point. So that's it for updates this week. That's what we've got for news. Before we get out of here, we always like to do one of these bad boys. Do you
remember? I don't remember fucking anything, man.
Yes, it is Hey Remember This, and we're going back to September of 2014, show number 472, a throwback to some past outrage that faded fairly quickly, and that's mm-hmm. why I came across this when I was looking for information on Resorts World. I thought, oh yeah, that's kind of amusing. In 2014, Clark County passed a ban on glass containers on the Strip. So no more glass beer bottles, no more walking between casinos with glass cocktail glasses in your hand. Remember the glass exchange program I made up?
Oh, yeah.
I think we've talked about it in the past, but years ago, when I used to like to make things up and see if my wife was gullible enough to believe them, I think the... wasn't... You didn't realize that was what I was doing?
No.
Well, I remember you... during our early trips to Vegas, you were pretty mm-hmm. insistent about leaving the glasses in the casino.
Okay.
Instead of carrying them to another casino. Mm-hmm. And I, in order to make this okay so I didn't have to slam my drink and finish it before leaving, I made up a story that the casinos all had a big glass exchange program mm-hmm. where they would save each other's glasses and return them. And they knew who had different styles of glasses to make this possible.
I don't think I believed you.
You did.
Did I?
Yeah,
no.
You did for a while. Yeah, you did.
Well, I was probably hammered.
No, I think you just... it might have been a wanting to believe it in order to make it... because you felt guilty about taking the glasses out.
Hmm. A lot of them use the same style of glasses, so they could have just... Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, the glass exchange
program. I remember Golden Nugget, though. I remember coveting those because they had some pretty nice glassware for a while. I don't know if they still do.
We didn't steal any.
No.
We really didn't. I'm not just saying that. Nudge, nudge. No, we didn't steal any. We don't have any stolen glassware from Vegas, do we?
No. It was all acquired
legally. And,
yeah.
So anyway, on the Strip, and of course this has since happened on Fremont Street. I think did the Strip happen first or did Fremont Street happen first? I'm not even sure. But when this happened, there was outrage. People were pissed off. You would not be able to have a glass beer bottle with you on the Strip. It was just, oh, this is another nail. They're killing the spirit of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later, everybody had forgotten about it and it became no big deal. And it's like, oh, well, they're serving beer in aluminum bottles or you can pour it into a to-go glass. And the bartenders are typically, they ask if you're going to walk with it and just put it in a glass for you anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's a non-factor. And the freak out was kind of a little overblown, let's just say, as it often is.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I'd be surprised if there are people, there. No, I guarantee there are people who are still waxing to stuff. I remember we could have a glass bottle. Is it really that big of a difference having a glass bottle versus
I wonder if there's an environmental backlash over this, though. There's so much plastic.
Because of the single-use plastic thing? Mm-hmm. Probably. Aluminum. There you go. You can use an aluminum beer bottle. Everybody's happy. It's recyclable. Yes, the amount of energy required to recycle it is probably more than... Anyway, let's not get into that. Mm-hmm. All I need is some... If anybody posts any bullshit about recycling on the Facebook group, it's getting deleted instantly. I'm so fucking tired of that goddamn Facebook group. That's the mode that we're in this week.
Oh, no. Must get rid of toxic in community.
it varies by day and by week. And this is one of those weeks where I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, really? All right. So with that in mind, let's move on. We've got some people to thank for karma donations because they're awesome. Chris, who said just because.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Thank you, sir. Brian, karma donation for an annual Cosmo Thanksgiving trip.
Oh, have fun. I'm a little envious.
Great way to spend Thanksgiving. Kevin and Rita, karma donation for a week-long trip starting December 6th. Rita loves video poker and wants my quad machines.
All right.
You know, any machine on any given day
can be a quad machine.
Can be the source of a quad bonanza, and I hope that you happen to find one.
Yes.
Scott in L.A., it's been way too long since my last trip, but wanted to send a karma donation for a respectable, I'm curious about this term, respectable bachelor party. What does that consist of? Or is that, well, my wife's listening, and I don't want her to know we're really going to the titty bars, so let me call it respectable. I don't know. Anyway, that is happening as we speak. He said second time is hopefully a charm for his buddy. Okay, second marriage, I guess. Staying at Cosmo, hitting
a little
opium.
Older, a little wiser, maybe not wanting to like just drink the whole time, that sort of thing.
Well, I'm thinking the marriage, not the second bachelor party. Or you're still on the respectable part?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's being thrown in there for somebody else's benefit, but I might be wrong.
Okay. But yeah, I do hope the second marriage is a charm. Yeah,
I hope it all works out for everybody involved. Yes. They're staying at Cosmo, going to Opium Yardbird, and much more. Hope you guys all have a great time. Hope things work out for your buddy. Anthony with a karma donation. Thank you, Anthony. Lauren and Dane, karma donation for the first post-baby trip.
Ooh.
We had a baby girl in June. Looking forward to getting 3 full nights of sleep. I love that somebody's going to Vegas to get more sleep.
That's usually
I know
not the purpose, but yes, I understand.
You hear the all I need is an hour or two a night, and then I'm fine. No, this is I can't wait to get to Vegas to sleep. Oh, that's fantastic. Good luck to you guys.
Yes,
Ryan, fourth annual trip with his brother Brent. This year, it's up to 10 guys. Ooh, that's a lot of dudes. Got smoked at the tables in August and need some of that good karma. And guess who's back? Everyone's favorite uncle, Uncle Whitey. Now, I remember, I don't know if it was last year, last time we heard from this particular group, Uncle Whitey was having to sit out the trip.
Oh.
So it's Uncle Whitey is back.
Good.
And I have some questions. I don't know if I want to know more about Uncle Whitey and whether or not that name is like, is he just like a raging racist? Or
does he just have really white hair or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's probably better that we don't know. But I hope you guys all have a wonderful time.
Yes.
KTNTX taking our 24 and 21-year-old kids for their first Vegas trips over Thanksgiving, hoping for some good karma. as we introduce them to our favorite places, some good food, shows, overall good times. Isn't that what Thanksgiving is all about?
Yes.
Hell yeah, it is. What a wonderful thing to have a family Thanksgiving in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great time. Hope that they like it as much as you guys do. Karen with a Karma donation. Thank you, Karen. And finally, a very special thank you. We were surprised to get a... our listeners always surprise us with different mm-hmm. things we get. You never know. I mentioned a week or two ago, we sometimes get nice little gifts in our P.O. box. Well, in my inbox, I got a video to the two of us from Debbie Gibson.
Aww.
Wishing us happy holiday. She sang a couple songs for mm-hmm. us. And it was courtesy of our longtime listener, Jim from Liberty Skis.
Thanks, Jim.
Who apparently knows her because there was a note attached. And apparently they saw each other at a party and he was telling her about us. We were the subject we were the subject of a conversation with Debbie Gibson.
Wow.
I know. Now, teenage me would have freaked out about this because I was quite the fan back in my younger days. I had met her a few times. She's a lovely woman.
If I met her, you like stood outside her tour bus waiting.
No, well, the first time it was a little,
it was a little stalkery.
It was a little, yeah, I might've gone a little far the first time. And she was perfectly lovely. I had hopped over a railing and startled a security guard. Let's just put it that way. I was a kid, but she was very nice. And then, not too long after that, I was at one of her concerts and I was walking by her tour bus after the show. And she, right as we walked by, she opened the window to like greet her fans, and she remembered me.
Oh,
yeah, it was very nice. And then
I remember you. You're the guy who scared the shit out of me.
Holy shit, you're nuts. It's you again. Of course you're here. So anyway, it was very cool to get this message. It was a nice little surprise, and we thank Jim for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, our listeners are awesome.
Yes, and thank you all for all the karma donations.
Thanks, y'all. I know you hate when I say that. Sorry. I'll try not to annoy you anymore today. I feel like I'm getting on your nerves.
No. I'm amused by your antics.
I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 500bymidnight.com is the website. You can find the t-shirt link there. Again, bonus is your discount code. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, 500@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And voicemails. We love to get voicemails.
And Max is on the bed, sleeping.
Aw. Maybe we'll have some voicemails for next week's show. I think we have one or two waiting for us. But
okay.
Call up with your reviews and observations. 702-866-9494. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will be back very soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.